I've got a little pledge I want to lead y'all in, so everybody stand. I pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance.
To the logo.
To the logo.
Of corporate marketing in Cupertino. To the computers.
To the computers.
For which it stands.
For which it stands.
One nation.
One nation.
Under jobs.
Under jobs.
Indispensable.
Indispensable.
Hardware and software for all.
Hardware and software for all.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. I'm back with the two sexiest mother farmers I know.
Oh!
Alex E. Heath is joining us again. Alex, hey.
Hey, long time no talk.
Long time. Such a long time, no talk, and we've got Buster here as well, Buster Heine. And you know, I should probably just mention Buster's community manager, writer for Cultimac, Alex E. Excelsior Heath, writer for Cultimac. For those of our new listeners who are like, who are these two sexy voices that I'm hearing? Like, what do they do for Cultimac?
We know them. That's all that matters.
That's right. And we've got a great show planned for you guys. I want to thank DigiDNA, makers of Discade 6, for sponsoring the show. Discade 6, the best way to transfer videos, documents, and other information on and off your iDevices with ease. You can download your voicemails, call logs, photos, videos, anything right to your computer, all via Wi-Fi, all without iTunes syncing. With the new Discade 6, hey, go try it out, digidna.net. And you can download Discade 6 for free, and a lot of its basic features are free to use. If you like it, you can save 30% off your order with the code THECULTCAST at checkout. And if we're sounding particularly sexy today, we got all new microphones, courtesy of Rode Mics, and I want to thank them for sponsoring the show, too. Alex, you're finally using yours.
And it sounds so sweet.
It does. Your voice sounds particularly good today. And let me just set the scene for you guys. So we have these Rode Podcaster mics, which I love. Fantastic microphones. USB.
Beautiful.
So easy to use. And they set us up with these mics and then also studio arms. So we have this long phallic object hanging in front of our faces where our mics are now hanging. And Alex,
I
know you're I know you're really enjoying your new mic setup.
I am. I'm thinking of just talking like this for the rest of the show.
I hope that you do that.
I will.
And since you're enjoying talking so much, you recommended that we start with a conversation about Google Reader. Which I made a gasping noise and I was like, Google on this show?
Google, is this the Cult of Android Cast?
We should do that one too. Why don't you tell us why we should be talking about Google Reader, Alex? Set the scene for us, if you would. Tell us what just happened with Google Reader.
Well, as many of you may know,
now you sound
Google
like John
Reader.
Mayer.
You sound so stupid.
You sound like John Mayer when you talk like that.
No, wait, no,
really? I'm gonna take like, that as a compliment.
Like a more effeminate version of John Mayer.
The body is a holy wonderland, whatever he says. All right, now listen.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Google Reader. I'm sure you guys already know this, Irfan. I'm sure you do. No,
yeah,
wait,
do.
You don't. So I'm going to explain it to
you. Okay, yeah, no.
Google Reader. Google is weird, and they randomly kill products, and no one really knows why, but they do. And out of the blue, they decided that, hey, we don't really need to run Google Reader anymore. No one really cares about that. So they decided to give it a July 1st death sentence. So the days are numbered for good old Google Reader, which I don't know if you ever used it, Irfan. I know Buster and I still use it, and a lot of people still use it.
Well, did you describe what it does?
In case people don't know, I mean, it was like the first really widely used RSS tool for the web. So RSS feeds are like Cult of Mac has an RSS feed. Just about every site on the internet has some kind of RSS feed. And an RSS feed allows you to get all of the articles that come in as they're published and read them in another app. So it's basically Flipboard would be more of a newspaper, a modern newspaper, but this is more of just
mail.
Yeah, it's like going through individual pieces of mail. It's really fast.
Yeah, the RSS feed you just have like the headline for each article.
It's basic.
That way everything's very compact.
Yeah. And some apps will pull in images if the RSS feed supports that, but usually it's just a headline. So it's very bare bones, very for people that just want to get their news, get their posts. And it's good if you, you know, if you follow like a lot of random blogs that don't get updated very often, you don't want to bookmark those blogs and then have to, you know, check them every day to see if there's new posts. So what RSS will do is catch all that for you, and you can just check, you know, check Google Reader in a couple days and see everything that's come in. So it's a really handy tool. And as bloggers, I know Buster and I check it every day, and we have dozens and dozens of feeds in there, and we use that to keep on top of the news because, you know, things fall through the cracks on Twitter and stuff like that. So, and I mean, I think it's fair to say that everyone, the general perception has moved away from RSS. It's kind of a dying technology, I would say.
I don't feel like it was ever all that popular.
No, I don't either. I never used it, even as like somebody, when I wrote part-time for Cult-O-Mac, I didn't use it. It was only when I started writing for Cult-O-Mac full-time when I couldn't, like, you can't go check, you know, 50 different websites in 2 minutes, but you can with RSS because you can see all those headlines and know what's crap.
Yeah, that's kind of what I used it for too. For those of you who have an iPad, actually they have an app for iPhone too. Pulse is a great app, and it's like Flipboard, except it gives you like a really high level view of all the different websites that you want to view, and you can set up all these different like pages that have your favorite websites on them, and it shows you like a thumbnail and the title
exactly
of the stories.
Like Flipboard.
Does Flipboard have like that higher level view though?
I don't know what you mean by higher.
Well, Pulse is a little bit more condensed too. Like,
because I can look at 30 sources at once.
Flipboard, you have like three tiles on each page, sometimes just one. With Pulse, it's just like each is like a 2x2 square, and you got like 16 of them on the page at once.
That's what I mean.
Flipboard's very much more like, Flipboard is for sitting there and just kind of digesting the news.
Right.
It's like kind of meant to relax too. And then I guess Pulse is more of a modern RSS equivalent. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I would
more
say
like better for scanning stuff quickly.
Right, it's more of a visual RSS because everything's, you know, you got big photos and smaller text on it.
So, Alex, why do you think that Google is killing off Reader? And
I don't know. There's been like speculation for different things. I don't really think it matters. I don't think, the public doesn't really care. I feel like there's a lot of geeks that were got up in arms about it.
Right.
There's
like two plausible theories. Both are probably could be right. Is A, you had Google wants to push Google Plus, so they want people to connect through media through Google Plus instead of Reader. So they're trying to block that. Also, like, they're not making money off of Reader, so it's, you know, it's an easy expense to just kill.
Right.
So I think those are probably two.
I feel like they're not making money on a lot of their stuff, though. Like, I feel like they have a few properties that bring in all the money.
But that's what, I mean, they just want to gather your information, right? I mean,
right. And that's, you know,
that's what they're doing with all
their products. And I think that was the main problem with Reader, is that Google's best interest is to get as much information from you as possible. And Google Reader really hasn't, it's kind of like the awkward stepchild. Like, it has no, it just hasn't been updated in a long time. So it doesn't have any real, like, social features. Sharing is very limited. Like, it's
that's
not
what
very,
I like about it is it because it's so bare, you know.
It's so
it feels
bare
like you're in like a 1997 piece of technology, you know.
That's because you are. I can change
like,
my themes. Cool.
It's kind of just like giving it a little, you know. It's a requiem for it. It's, you know, it was a great service that was used by a lot of people for a while, at least a decent amount, you know,
by a lot of very small group of people.
No, I mean, it was pretty rude.
I think it was like semi-popular when people still didn't have like DSL connections and they wanted to get news, like around like 2000, I don't know, 2 to 6. I remember it being popular way back then.
Yeah, it was super hot back then. Well, do you guys have any suggestions? I mean, for those people who were using Google Reader, anything that they could use instead?
If you're
just gonna move on from RSS entirely, Alex.
Well, that's the thing I'm trying to debate. Like, Buster, when they kill this, are you done with RSS?
I might try and like just get everything from Twitter instead.
Pulse is great.
I like that idea. I wish it was that easy, but I get thousands of tweets a day, and it's like,
yeah, that's the thing. Is it would be. I would think you would have to create a bunch of lists that you're following people in a list, but not on your followers. So you have to keep checking those when you're working.
Right.
But if you were following all those people, it'd be insane.
Alex, have you tried Pulse?
I have tried Pulse.
Oh, yeah, you have.
I've tried Pulse, and I use Flipboard from time to time. I would use Flipboard more if I didn't rely on RSS, but RSS is mainly just like I find so many like posts that I would have not have found otherwise that just fall through the cracks through RSS. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Like I did a post tonight where the guy who makes Reader, who is it's like probably the most popular Google Reader app for Apple devices for all of them, and he said that he's going to integrate Feedbin support in the coming months. And Feedbin is like the problem with all these other services for Google Reader alternatives is that they're all paid or they're all kind of sucky. So like Feedbin's like $2 a month, which isn't a lot, but when you've been using for something for free for so long, it's not even that essential to your life. I'm just not sure. I feel like it's kind of dying. But
Let's talk about iPhone next, because we had some pretty big news this week about T-Mobile. Is someone snickering in the background?
No, I just said segue.
Oh. Let's talk about something. Hey, welcome back.
Oh, let's talk about T-Mobile.
I heard that was your favorite carrier.
I love it. The CEO said, just stop the bullshit.
That was good.
Just stop it.
I can tell you're a pro. You can even censor yourself. You don't have to. You don't make me do it, Chris.
When you're in films, you have to be able to censor.
So T-Mobile's CEO came out and said all the carriers need to stop the BS, and basically they are offering contract-free plans now, which actually seem pretty cool. But the big news, obviously, is that they're going to be carrying the iPhone. So if you want to get an iPhone on T-Mobile, that's now an option for you. And they're going to be offering LTE. So that's now an option for you. But I was reading through their plans and kind of thinking to myself, this might be the way to go. So they're offering a contract-free solution. And they're giving you the phone at its normal price. So you have to pay for the phone full price, which I think is like $500 for like a 16-gigabyte iPhone. Right, guys?
Yeah.
And then they let you pay for that iPhone over the course of, I think, 18 months or 20 months? 24 months.
Yeah.
So you kind of get to spread the payment of that phone over the length of the contract, but you are not in a contract. So if you ever want to leave, I'm assuming you just pay for the phone and you leave, right?
Right. You pay what you have left.
So this kind of seems like the wave of the future for me, because they're not going to charge you for texts. They're not going to charge you for minutes.
Well, I mean, yeah, I feel like aren't the other carriers doing unlimited bundles like this with text and voice? I feel like carriers don't care about text and voice anymore. Like that's not where the money
unlimited
is.
Unlimited text and voice, yeah.
Yeah. That's
but
not
they're
really,
keeping you in a contract.
Data now.
It's all about data, yeah.
Yeah.
And their data still is kind of expensive. Although their 70 gigabyte plan, or I'm sorry, their $70 plan is unlimited.
Yeah,
right?
That's not that bad.
That's not that bad at all, but I heard that was only up to 500 megabytes, and then they boot you down to their lower speeds. That's not very much.
Are you talking about T-Mobile?
Yeah.
No, T-Mobile says that they won't throttle you unless you're severely hurting the network or something like that, was how they phrased it.
So you're saying that you could go to T-Mobile, buy your iPhone, and then for $70 a month have unlimited everything?
I think so.
With LTE. And their LTE speeds, I was reading, are actually not that bad.
I mean, they don't have
LTE. I'd have to consult John's article for the specifics on it. But
yeah.
They don't have LTE yet, though. That's the problem.
They
They're
have
rolling
LTE
it out
in
to like six cities.
Some areas, yeah.
So Washington, D.C., like who even lives there?
like Alex is saying, yeah, it's otherwise you're on 2G.
No. I don't think it's 2G or LTE. The iPhone 5 was a I think you posted about this. Wasn't the iPhone 5 a tweaked one that allows for the HSPA Plus? Is that not true?
I can't remember.
I thought that's what it is.
But you know,
I couldn't imagine that T-Mobile.
Thought we were talking about this like last year, that the reason why they couldn't come to T-Mobile Apple won't let them if it's on 2G and they can't get on their 3G network.
But the iPhone 5, the one that came out, I thought for this was tweaked, didn't it?
Did it do that? I can't remember if it is.
Because can you imagine T-Mobile selling a phone and say, hey, our LTE coverage is very spotty, but so whenever you're not on LTE in these six cities, you're going to be on 2G. I just can't imagine.
But you know, if they're committing to this, they've got to be playing an aggressive LTE rollout. There's no way they can promote LTE and be in like five cities.
They just don't have the they don't have the numbers, like they don't have the customer base to make them big enough, I think, to roll out at a pace that would compete with AT&T or Verizon.
No, I mean, it's part of Deutsche Telekom, so they have money.
They got some euros, dog. Euros to spend.
Exchange rate.
Shut up. Euros.
So, honestly, I just haven't paid attention to it because it's T-Mobile, and T-Mobile has been such a bad carrier. And like Alex says, the LTE isn't fast. Well, the prices will save you a lot more over the long run, but I've just decided to keep with Verizon.
Oh, dude, well, if T-Mobile's network was so bad, why did AT&T try to buy them?
I know.
Oh! That was that's a total blogger joke. Yeah, right. Yeah. So that was T-Mobile's comeback when AT&T was talking trash about T-Mobile's network. Didn't they come out and say they came out with an ad? They're like, yo, if our network's so bad, why did AT&T try to buy us?
Burr.
And their CEO threw his mic on the ground and put his arms up in the air. He was like, oh. That was a characterization of how that went down.
Oh, well, you're not reading a transcript?
No, wait. Then T-Mobile. No. I wasn't reading that. That just took place in my imagination. Hey, we need to take a quick break. Should we talk about any other T-Mobile stuff before we?
Well, I just wonder. Do you guys really think that people are going to be buying this on T-Mobile? The $99 for an iPhone 5 is pretty attractive. I will give them that. But yeah. I really don't like when you're paying $20 extra a month to pay for this over the course of 2 years, and then you have to pay the balance no matter what. Like you're still paying for the phone. I feel like this is all kind of like marketing voodoo to try to get T-Mobile some cred.
Well, they're trying to get cred like really hard, you know?
But, like I know, and like I get what they're doing. I really like what they're doing with the unlimited stuff. They're really committed to that. I just don't see this as being such a huge thing that they're making it out to be. I feel like it's a wrap.
I really don't either. I don't think it's gonna change things majorly. You know,
I hope it does. You know, I don't think it will either. I like the fact that they're trying to do something different, and I really love the lead image that Killian Bell used in this Cult of Android post. It's fantastic of their CEO. I'm not sure what he's doing. He's doing like the Captain Picard, what the F look there. But I'm so sick of being overcharged for cell phone stuff. Yeah. You guys, I'm going to try my best not to go on to a rant here. But you know, the AT&T share plans that they released that were freaking $30.
Speak your mind, boy.
30 gigabytes for $300 a month.
Oh, yeah.
$40 or four gigabytes. I can't even talk. It makes me that mad. So 40 gigabytes for $400 a month, or if you're totally insane.
You're totally insane.
You know, you're going to give them $500 a month, a.k.a. $6,000 a year.
That's 6,000 what?
For 50 gigabytes a month.
Yeah. I do like that I think the 2-year contract thing is dumb, and I'm so glad that T-Mobile's saying that it's dumb. And I'm hoping that if a lot of customers, because people are like, they see the price of the phone up front and that's what they think the phone costs. So if they say, gosh, I can get the iPhone 5 for $99 on T-Mobile, I may as well just do that. And I don't have a 2-year contract either. That's awesome. And they don't really get the rest, but maybe that will help Verizon and AT&T realize, hey, this 2-year lock-in thing is just dumb.
Yeah.
I like the idea of you own the phone. Like you buy the phone, you pay it off, you own it. Like you don't have this dumb time stipulation.
I do too, because then if you could take it to any carrier that you want, I mean, the only way we're going to get decent data rates in the United States and not be charged in our rears, up our rears, rather, is for there to be some more competition. I mean, AT&T, for them to have the audacity to come out and say, oh, you can get a 50 gigabyte plan for $500 a month. Totally insane to me. Like, whatever marketing person thought of that should be karate chopped in their trachea.
Yeah, they should.
By Mr. Miyagi himself.
Wax on, wax off.
Yeah, they need to wax on, wax off that dude. That's all I'm saying. That actually sounds a lot dirtier than I meant wax on, wax off. That dude. Hey, this is a good place to take a break. let's do that. You know what's weird? I've been talking about Mr. Miyagi way too much in the last 3 days. He just keeps coming up in conversations. Mm. So for those of you who don't know who he is, you can Google him, and we'll be back in just one moment. I want to tell you guys about Disc Aid 6.
Wait, Irfan, I have a question.
What?
Now, see, I want to be able to plug my iPhone into my Mac and download my voicemails, but
how would you go about doing that? Oh, my goodness. I've got the perfect solution for you, Alex. Yeah, I do. So we have this great company called DigiDNA.net sponsoring us. They make this great product called Disc Aid 6. Guess what it does?
Does it do what I had said that I had asked for?
Exactly. So you can plug in your iPhone or your iPad or your iPod directly into your Mac, and with Disc Aid 6, which works on both Macs and PCs, you can do all sorts of amazing things. Number one, you can back up your entire iTunes collection and then restore it onto another computer entirely.
No, he did it.
Oh, you can download your voicemails, your call logs, your photos, your videos. Better yet, you can upload videos to your phone and then watch them on a flight. Let's say you want to watch Mrs. Doubtfire. That's a movie on your phone on a flight. Yeah. But you don't want to sync it via iTunes? Disc Aid 6. Any of those features sound great to you? Go check it out. I think so too. And you can do this all wirelessly, by the way.
You need Robin Williams to pimp Disc Aid 6.
Wait. And it downloads your voicemails. Wait. And then it's your photos. Wait. No. In your videos. No.
There's more.
So go check it out. DigiDNA.net. Download Disc Aid 6. A lot of its basic features are free to use. Try it out. And then if you like it, you can unlock its advanced features. You can use the code THECULTCAST at checkout. You save 30% off your order. Boom. Disc Aid 6. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show, too. You know, the guys at DigiDNA don't just sponsor the show. They actually listen to the show and laugh.
We're screwed.
And they laugh with us.
Sorry.
And no, they like it. They love it when we get hammy. They're like, get hammy with it. Get hammy with it. Because they understand, you know, like, you got to have fun. You got to have fun with those and let people know about their product in a fun way. So definitely love those guys. Hey, we are going to be doing faves and raves. Stick around for that. But I want to ask Alex about Alfred, because you wrote a post about this recently.
Yeah.
And I've been using Alfred, the new version, Alfred 2, and it works fantastically.
Fan-spanking-tastic.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I installed it. And the main feature that I use is the launch bar feature, you know, or the launching feature. So you can, with a quick shortcut, just type like an application, then just hit enter and it launches it. If you're not using one of these types of apps just to launch apps on your computer, you are missing out. If you're going into Finder like an old school butt pirate, not the way to do it.
What?
Yeah. Reference doesn't even make sense in the context of that sentence. But
do you guys not use like a stack, like put a stack in your dock of your applications and then just access it?
Oh,
that
man,
way?
That's for like soccer moms.
You won't do a stack, but you used to go through Finder, but now you use Alfred, which is probably about as quick as using a stack.
Alfred's way quicker.
How is it quicker?
I type alt space bar.
Oh, sir, start using it and tell me it's not quicker.
You can set up shortcuts. So I hit alt space bar, a little dialog box pops up, and let's say I want to launch Photoshop. I type PHO and hit enter, and it's launched. Boom,
or if you open Photoshop a ton, Alfred learns that when you type P, you're probably going to want Photoshop.
Exactly.
So it's the first option. It's
exactly. Genius. But that's the most basic level. And the UI has gotten a lot better since version 1. Alex,
and the workflows.
So tell us about that, because it does some other powerful
workflows
stuff.
Workflows are hot. Workflows are like you can chain stuff together without coding, which is really cool. So like you can use Alfred to tweet, to respond to tweets. You can use Alfred to get the weather.
You
can use
it kind of like if this, then that.
No, it's a little different just because it's all right there through.
Oh, holy moly. I didn't know. I just typed weather Seattle. Yeah. Boom. It just took me to a web page with the weather.
Well, you don't
Seattle.
Even there's a workflow that integrates the forecast right into the Alfred bar, so it doesn't even take you to a web page. Like, it shows formatted weather information right under it. It's really slick looking.
Holy schmooks. This is great.
You can control your control Evernote, you can control your Spotify, your
audio.
You
can control Evernote with it.
Yes, you can. Did you actually read my post?
No, I just read the title. You know how I roll.
Okay, well, you can control BitTorrent, which you should never
do.
Linux.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's for.
You can control. You can search mail. You can. There's a really slick workflow. This is awesome. I use this all the time. You can search the iTunes and the App Store with Alfred, and it's so fast. You just type like ITS for the iTunes Store, or I forget the other one for the App Store, and then you type in what you want, and it shows the results right in Alfred in a little drop-down window, and you click one, and it copies and pastes the URL to iTunes right there in your clipboard.
Okay, well, no, wait a second. Is this something that you have to enable?
That sounds like useful for work.
It's super useful. And get this, Buster. For us, you can customize an affiliate link, so we can have our affiliate link.
Oh, dude, I guess I do need to be using this. But
and we should also mention that Alfred is free to use. A lot of its basic features, just
but
like this.
All these
6.
Workflows I'm talking about, you'll need the Power Pack. And the Power Pack's like 15 euros.
Euros? Actually, no. I think it's 20 pounds, isn't it?
No, it's like 15, not euros, pounds.
Oh, my goodness. So that's like $20.
That's like $200.
I can't do it. Sorry, guys.
It's worth it, though.
The developer.
I can't feed the developer.
Yeah, you got to feed the developer. Actually, you should contact them and tell them that you're on this show. They'll probably give you a free license.
No, I can't roll that way.
Actually, if you tell them you're on this show, they may not even allow you to buy it.
Nobody do that.
No.
Relationship.
No, no, you should definitely pay for it. I'm all for supporting the developers.
Definitely pay for it. It's super slick.
So can I tell you another feature that I really love is it remembers all the things that you copy and paste. So you can go back to your clipboard and you can tell how many things you want to remember. So if you're copied and pasted something, you know, like 20 copy pastes ago, you can go back to that item and reuse it.
Yep.
I think that feature alone is worth the 20 pounds or the 15 awesome. Pounds. Super useful. So anything else that we should know about it, Alex?
No, it's just that there's an iTunes mini player, which is really slick. There's, that thing is just chock full of stuff. You can do
is powerful.
You can really do just about anything. Like, and all it will, it's the kind of app that when you get to a Mac that doesn't have it installed, you will get frustrated because you'll be like, I can get nothing done on this thing because I don't have Alfred, because Alfred makes everything so fast.
Yeah. I don't like opening apps on computers that
don't have
bar
Alfred because you're like, oh, I got to go to the applications folder. Fine, or I got to use one of Buster's stupid stacks.
Let me dig through this stack.
It's okay.
Man.
We know you have stacks for days, but
I've got.
He's got fat stacks. Yeah, it's
fat
true,
stacks, man.
Which, when it comes to money, is actually cool, but not when it comes to your apps. And it's particularly annoying when you got to access something that's in the utilities folder. So now you got to go into applications, and then you got to go into the utilities folder, and then you got to go to the app that you want to use. Yeah.
So dumb.
So, guys, if you haven't downloaded Alfred, go check it out. One of my favorite apps that I've downloaded this year, honestly. I just kind of tried it on a whim after reading the headline of Alex's title.
Headline convinced you.
And then I was like, you know, I'll just try it out. And I was using Launch Bar. I don't know if you have any experience with Launch
Bar. Launch Bar sucks.
And I like Launch Bar, but I like Alfred
more. Did you know
more.
This? Have you ever used Quicksilver?
I used to use it, but it was in beta for so long. I was just like,
Quicksilver used to be the ish, right? That used to be the launcher.
Yeah,
and it hasn't had an update in 10 years, and out of the blue, I'm guessing because of Alfred 2.0, they updated it for the first time and moved it out of beta like yesterday, and that's the first time it's been updated in 10 years, and so it's now officially not a beta. And they're trying to get developers interested again to kind of do what Alfred's doing with workflows. But I really think Alfred's kind of taking the cake on this.
Well, not to mention, when you don't update something for that long, the reason I stopped using Quicksilver was because I think I upgraded to a newer operating system and it wasn't compatible. And I'm like, I don't know if they're ever going to make this compatible.
I just stopped using it when Alfred came out. I saw Alfred in the beta stage and I was like, this is already so much better. It looks better. Like,
it looks great. And the
you can theme it. You can theme it, so you can make it look however
you
want. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, it's really good. Okay, well, as long as we're talking about apps, let's do a fave and rave segment to wrap up the show. Faves and raves and faves and raves and faves. Alex, you need to come on more so you know how that goes.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I know. It's Alex's fault. Alex, it's your fault.
It's not my fault, okay?
So Faves and Raves is the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best.
That's hot.
Buster, you're going to have a good one. I'm going to let you go last. I bet you're Do you want to go first?
No, I don't care.
I think you're going to win. But
I don't care.
As long as we're talking about apps, why don't I just jump into it first? Because I always make you guys go first. So my pick this week is a little app that is called Unclutter. I almost forgot. I was vamping. I almost forgot the name of it. It's called Unclutter. And when I bought it, it was available in the App Store for $3. And it basically installs this little application that lets you scroll up to the top of your screen and then you scroll down. And it brings down a clipboard, a like storage folder, and then a notepad. And it's awesome because the clipboard always remembers the last thing that you copied and pasted or just copied. The notes is great for notes. And then the file section, which is the folder, lets you dump anything into it and basically lets you unclutter your desktop. And anytime you need to access something, you just scroll up and then scroll down and boom, all your files are right there.
Boom.
This is one of the first utilities I've ever used that has actually let me unclutter my desktop. No other tools I've tried have worked, and this has worked brilliantly. It's just because you know all your files are right there whenever you need them, so you just have no fear.
I have it installed actually running right now on my Mac. I just forget it's there. I should just try to start using it again.
Really? How can you forget it's there? Because one of the things that actually annoys me about it is anytime I try to use like Expose, it always comes down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I shouldn't say that during this segment, though. All right, Alex, you're up next.
Yeah. Okay. This doesn't have to be an app, does it?
No. It could be your favorite tech or app. Jeez, you do need to come on more often.
Jeez.
I know. I totally forgot how the show works. So, is this Apple? Okay. Wait. So,
he's about to pitch an Android device, an Android tablet.
I got, during the month that I was away from the show, I got both of the new Mophie iPhone 5 case chargers.
Yeah. Wait, you got both? Because I got one.
Yeah, I got both. It was a mix-up. Like, they were supposed to send me one, and they ended up,
asked for another one.
Accidentally have two. Accidentally sold one on eBay. No, I'm just kidding. The Mophie Helium and the Mophie Juice Pack Air. And I'm double-checking to make sure that the Helium is the one with the higher battery.
No.
Is it the Air?
It's the Air because I have the Helium.
Okay.
That's what I
have, the Air and the Helium, and I've used both. And it's obvious that the Air gives a little bit of a charge, but it's not that much noticeable. So I would definitely say go with the Helium if you can. It also weighs a little less, and it's like $20 cheaper. But this is a great. I think it's how much is it? Irfan?
I believe it was $79.99.
$79.99.
Yeah, for the one I reviewed.
And it's really cool, really slick case, and it doesn't feel like a battery case. Like you can't even really tell that a battery's in there. I mean, it does add some bulk to the phone, but not anywhere near as much as the iPhone 4S version did. It's really trimmed down. They've done a really good job. There's a little battery indicator on the back. Feels good.
Even that battery indicator looks slick. Like they did a really good job designing it.
It looks great. It's all great. The only qualm I have with it is is the adapter for the headphone jack, because they had to, like, it's dumb because of the way the phone's designed.
Alex means that there's a headphone jack hole that's recessed about a whole inch on the bottom of the case, because that's where the headphone jack is on the iPhone. So it includes this little like adapter that you have to plug in, and you have to leave it basically plugged into any headphones you want to use with your iPhone as long as it's in that case.
Which is dumb. So
grounds for Alex to lose, I think.
But I shut up. But I went on like a whatever it was, 16-hour car ride, and I used both of these things, and they worked marvelously. So this is like the battery case to get if you want one.
It is. I can vouch for that, too. All right, Buster, you're up.
Dude, I don't even have anything now.
Yeah, you got something great.
I was going to do my camera, but I just feel so stupid when you guys got like
we're actually talking about Apple stuff.
Apps and a mobile.
He's like, I got a 1400. No, it's probably more than that. I got a $3,000 camera.
You got a really nice camera. I mean, it's up to you. I could vamp for a moment. I'm reviewing so much great stuff right now. I would really love to like just have a discussion on all the things that we're reviewing.
What are you reviewing?
Oh, man. I'm reviewing a Fujitsu ScanSnap scanner, the iX100, iX500. Oh, dude, that thing is great. Great.
The Fujitsu. Is that the same one that Cody bought?
Who's Cody?
With hearts.
Oh, Corey.
Yeah, that guy.
Did he buy a scanner? No, it's not. It's not a picture scanner. It's document.
Oh,
scanner.
I thought you were talking about the scanner. Camera.
No.
My bad. You're talking about a scanner. I'm talking like about a scanner.
Hey, what's your favorite rip pick?
Dude, I'm just gonna say my camera. It's been,
okay. All right. Yeah. Well, what is your camera?
It's a Nikon D600.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Big boy.
What? I hate you guys.
I can't even hear what's
Buster
going on.
Buster is not alone.
So,
right.
You love your camera. What is it about that you love?
It's awesome.
You gotta pitch it.
I don't have anything to say anymore. I'm sorry. It's a great camera.
Are you guys texting nudie pics to each other?
No, he's having a party at his house.
No, this guy's
people over.
You're laughing at you.
Oh,
like with you.
That's not true.
All right, let's vote, guys. I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with the camera. I know Buster didn't sell it very well.
Don't go with the camera. I feel bad about it.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to lose with a $2,000 camera pick.
All right, I'll take it.
With a $2,000 full frame camera pick. So, Alex, the real question is, which one of our products sounds better? Because I think mine's probably the clear winner here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the really expensive, nice camera wins.
Yeah, but you're not a photographer, are you?
I mean, I have a Next 7, which I really
like. Yeah, I thought you were going to do your Next 7. That's why I was
I'm saying that, man. I'm not going to go toe-to-toe with your
Nikon. You're making me, like, pull
Nikon.
Out my big guns without using yours.
I know that's all part of the plan.
Jeez. Congratulations, no. Buster.
Don't I get to vote still?
Yeah, you can vote if you like. Whose is your favorite?
Wait, which one was yours again?
Mine was Unclutter, the app, and then Alex's.
I'm going to go with
someone.
Alex's.
Yeah, his is not memorable, though. You should just go with mine. No, you're going to go with his? Okay, fine. That's fine. As long as there's a listener out there who's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to try that app, and I like it, and it changed my life, Irfan. Thank you. Because there's going to be a whole lot more people that do that than are like, oh, I'm going to go buy a $2,000 camera.
They might. You never know. I might be inspired.
Yeah, it's actually true. Our listeners are kind of ballers, I think.
I think so, too.
Hey, speaking of cameras, I bought the new, for all of our photographer fans out there, I bought the new Canon 24-70 Mark II lens. It's been out for about 6-7 months, maybe less. Yeah, it just got released. Brand new lens. I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it is. The lens is ridiculously expensive, but it is one of the best lenses I have ever used. And
you like it more than the Nikon?
I do, yeah. Yeah,
oh, really?
I do, but it's very close. It's a very close race.
Oh, man.
I was telling Buster, actually in a previous show, that lens that he has, which is the 24-70 Nikkor, was until recently the best lens I've ever used. It was incredible. But now I got a new favorite. And you can't buy it because you don't have a Canon.
I know.
All right, guys. Well, let's wrap it up there. That's all the CultCast we have time for this week. But hey, you know what? You can always chat with us on Twitter. Alex is Alex E. Heath. I am at Airfon, E-R-F-O-N, and Buster is B-S-T-3-R. And, of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, you can always follow Cult of Mac. I want to thank DigiDNA.net for sponsoring us. Go check out Discade 6. Just go to DigiDNA.net, download the software, give them a try. And I also want to thank Rode for sponsoring us. Rode makes fantastic microphones. If you're in need of a microphone for your computer, maybe a music project you're doing, definitely check out Rode. Great 10-year guarantee on all of their microphones. Go check them out. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. A new episode of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. We will see you guys, Chris,
next time.
Oh.
Kind of took you a little while to pipe in there, Chris.
I'm a little slow tonight.
Why?
Have you been smoking that medicinal marijuana? Is that what's going on?
As I told Buster earlier today, some of that Bubba Kush.
Buster, have you been smoking medicinal marijuana?
Buster and I had the greatest conversation earlier today.
What was it about?
It was about all the ghetto music I listened to.
Yeah, Alex was telling me, oh, I listen to ghetto music. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, like, what kind of ghetto music?
You know, Aretha Franklin.
Pretty much.
I really love Whitney Houston.
Like Jay-Z, like Wiz Khalifa, Eminem. Like, that's about as ghetto as I get, man.
Are there any swear words in any of the music that you listen to, Alex?
Don't respect the players. No, I only listen to the clean Slim Shady.